Moses and all Israel fled from Pharaoh and his men. They thought they would surely drown, and great fear fell on them. But God told Moses, lift your hand, stretch it out o'er the sea, and the waters he rolled back for them, he'll do the same for me. I'm wading through deep waters trying to get home, but the waves of sin, they dash so high, sometimes I think I'm gone. But when I think I'm gonna sing, I raise my hand up high, and the mighty hand of God comes down and takes a hold of mine. When Peter went to meet the Lord, walking on the sea, he looked around at the waves and he began to sing. But Jesus heard his cry for help, oh my Lord, save me. And his hand he reached out to him, he'll do the same for me. Y'all believe that this way? I'm wading through deep waters trying to get home, but the waves of sin, they dash so high, sometimes I think I'm gone. But when I think I'm gonna sing, I raise my hands up high, and the mighty hand of God comes down and takes a hold of mine. I'm glad that since he promised it back then, that means it's still good today. He's a never, ever changing God. He's the same God. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's a big controversy amongst the theologians, but I'm glad we're not living by our theology. We're living by faith. I believe it. Can you describe it? No, I cannot. I just know for a fact he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I thank God for that today. Going to be reading Luke chapter number 2. I covet your prayers. You pray for me this morning. I need God to touch. And I don't want to say this haphazardly. This is his message. It's not mine. But I also don't want to say it as a sense of me using God as the scapegoat on things that ought not to be preached. This is the Lord's message. He's the one who preaches. I heard Brother Handy Milby said he'd been preaching since 1960. And Brother Milby's up near 80, if not over 80. And he says, and I still never learned how to preach. And I believe that today, man can't learn how to preach. It takes the Spirit, the power, the Holy Ghost to move through a man to be touched. And it has to be that, be doing the preaching. I've tried in myself and I failed miserably. I've seen other men try and they have failed miserably. But I'm glad God doesn't toss his men away when they make that mistake. He'll still preach through them. Got a lot on my heart today. So we want to give you exactly what God's given us. Now, this I want to preach on what God's laid on my heart is Simeon in Luke chapter number 2. He woke me up real bright and early, and we was talking about the Christmas. We had the Christmas cantata, the Christmas singing, and the preaching, and everything last Sunday was just spot on. And I think God was well pleased in the doings, and I think God spoke volumes to hearts. Not a lot of times we look for the response, but it's not for us to see the response. It's up to us to do what God have us to do. And I thought so much about Simeon, and God woke me up on Simeon and about how Simeon, the things that Simeon did in Luke chapter number 2. And this is what he showed me at the first. I don't know if anybody else does it, but we try to read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 about Christ's birth and everything. The real reason why we have Christmas and all those things. Don't get me wrong, we have presents and we have lights and we have a Christmas tree, but it's not the reason that we celebrate or worship on December 25th or that week. It's because of Jesus Christ. But God showed me something. He says, well, Christmas is over, and then what? And that's when he showed me some things about Simeon. And that there's some things he laid upon my heart. Now, God put these things and showed these unto me, and I'm bad for remembering, so I got to write some things down. And this is some things that God told me to write down. And since Christmas is over, the next thing coming up is New Year's. Our New Year's Eve watch service will be Thursday night. I do believe we start at 8 o'clock. And Thursday night at 8 o'clock will be our New Year's Eve watch night service. And for those who don't know what that is, we're going to come in, have church, sing, pray, and preach. And then my favorite thing to do is go downstairs and get something to eat. Amen. You all ain't going to say, thank you, Joanne. I'll admit I'd like to eat. And then we're going to come back up and pray the old year out and the new year in. But I never was much on New Year's resolutions. I never was. Never did like them because I never could keep them. But God showed me there should be some things that we need to have, some resolutions, some goals in our life. And when he was showing me Simeon, he was showing me some things, and he asked me this question, do you need a New Year's resolution? And so this is some of the things that he showed me. And this is what he showed me. Some folks may think, well, you're picking on me. Well, it's not me picking on you, it's going to be the Lord. If you care more for your phone than you do your Bible, you need a New Year's resolution. We'll research which one's the best phone to get. We'll try to find out which one has the best features, which one has the most capability of meeting our needs and our wants. We won't leave home without our cell phone, but we'll leave home without our Bible. Amen. Can I say this? We'll make sure we got our cell phone when we go to church, but we won't make sure we got our Bible. That's exactly right. We'll get our cell phone out. We'll carry. Won't leave home without it. We got these fancy cases to protect it. We carry it in just the right place so it doesn't get damaged. We have a spot in the car for it. We'll get it out at supper time. We'll get it out in the car. We'll get it out at work. We'll get it out at ball games or, you know, sporting events. We'll even take it to the bathroom. We'll share it with our kids or parents and friends and coworkers, even strangers. But we will not do that with our Bible. If we're that way, we need a New Year's resolution. Amen. To be more devoted to our Bible than devoted to our phone. Don't y'all look at me that way. I'm speaking to myself too. If we're more excited about other relationships than our relationship with God, then we need a New Year's resolution. Amen. Can I say this? And the only reason why I say Facebook a lot, because it's the modern thing, Snapchat and the Instagrams and the Twitter and all that stuff. It's the modern things. And I'm not one of them preachers who badmouth modern conveniences, because I am so glad I don't have to ride a mule to go to church. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm so glad there's not a pot-belly stove in the middle of the church that somebody's got to split wood and chop wood and keep it supplied with wood and heat. Because, and then I'm glad we got enough room where everybody can sit. I know of churches where folks had to stand up and sit because the church was small. I like modern conveniences. But if the modern conveniences and the relationships that you have with them are more important than your relationship with God, then you need a New Year's resolution. A lot of times we'll do more things on our social media things, and we'll like more things on our social media things, and some things that we like, we don't really pay attention to what happens when it comes up. And I'll give you the example. Now, some of you may think I'm throwing off. I'm not, but God laid this on my heart. And if I'm the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist, y'all hear me? If I am the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church, the Bible says I've got to take heed on how I'm supposed to be in this pulpit, Brother James Powell. And I've seen some people like things on their social media, because I'm on it too. And I'm almost not completely on it no more. I don't get on it hardly no more. But I've seen some things and I gasp, because some people don't know. And I ain't saying you're doing it on purpose, but some folks is liking Budweiser. Some folks is liking alcohol. Some folks is liking pornography. And I've asked some people before about it, and they didn't know they liked it. It's because they weren't careful on what they was doing on their social media. I know y'all don't like that, but it's still the truth. Iron, Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. He's talking about godly people helping other godly people out, and I want to be a help to you today. And if we're more concerned about our relationships in the world than we are than our relationship with God, we need a New Year's resolution. If we care more about our status in the world than our standing in the church, we need a New Year's resolution. Some folks want to be accepted by the world and they hope they can be a part of the group in the world, or they meet their qualifications and the standards in the world. They go to church, but they don't want some folks to look at them as they come off like some big Bible-thumping Christian. Christians go to church, or Christians used to go to church because they wanted to, they loved to, and it was a break from the world, and did I say they wanted to? A lot of people says, well, I don't care about my standing or my position in the church. Boy, you better care about what your position is in the church. I'm not talking about if you're a Sunday school teacher or youth leader or pastor. Those things are important, but there is a standard, there is a standing, there's a position in the church that God wants everybody to be. And you say, what is that, preacher? Well, the Bible says first you should love one another. Amen. I know we ain't going to get too many. I'll get to the message in a minute. We may be stuck on the introduction. But he says we should love one another, prefer one another, go from house to house breaking bread, praying for one another. I know this is not popular, but it's still God's church. And Brother Scott Strunk, I've had so many people say, what's happened to the church? What do you think, what's happened to the church? Well, the folks got more, they still love things of the world more than they love the things of the church. And some people says, well, that's kind of, well, shouldn't my life revolve around church? Used to, it did. Life did revolve around church. Because when they would come to church, it would separate them from the things of the world. Not to say that they was better, but they could find safety and peace in the house of God amongst brothers and sisters and amongst the songs that was being sung. You know, used to, I'll Fly Away was one of the favorite songs to sing, and then people said it just got too old to sing. But it still has a power in it when the folks who love God and love being at church love to sing, I'll Fly Away. Ain't that right? Don't think I'm throwing off. I got is what the kindergarten teachers say. When you point one finger, you got 3 pointing back at you. I got 3 pointing back at me as much as you think I'm pointing a finger at you. But this is the reason why God's saying this. It's because there is some things that we need to be like. There's some things that we should desire as saved people of God, as the children of God. That means He is our Father. That means He is our family. That means we are family. You may not like some of your brothers and sisters. I've heard people say, that says, well, I love them, but I just don't like them. That's foreign unto me. I love everybody that I've ever come across that's been saved and born again. Hey, some folks is dropping their head. This ain't praying time. This is truth. I've heard people say, well, I just don't like going to church with these people. If you don't like going to church where you're going to church at, I awfully and oftentimes highly suggest that you'd ask God to change where you go to church. Because life is too short and sinners are dying and going to hell for us to be upset with one another and coming to church looking like we've sucked on an unripened persimmon and life is going down the tubes. We need to have an effect on everybody, provoking everybody to love. If we ask more help from doctors and parents and friends and co-workers than from the Word of God, we need a New Year's resolution. Don't get me wrong. I love doctors. I love my parents. I love my friends. I love the folks that I go to church with. I love the guys that I work with. But I'm telling you, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It says in Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 19, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm glad today that we can go to a God. We can go to the God, not just a God, but the God. You can crack open your fortune cookies. You can look up your horoscope. You can dial 1-900, read my future and tarot cards. But you will not get the truth from them. But you can trust in God to find the truth, what you need in your life, in every situation. You said, preacher, you might be thinking, preacher, what would you do if you was like that man that Sister Tina asked prayer for? Your leg just popped one day in the house and there was nothing but cancer littered throughout your body. Well, I'm telling you, the first person I'm going to go talk to, I'm going to talk to God.
Don't get me wrong, we'll schedule the doctor's appointments. Don't get me wrong, there'll be x-rays and MRIs. Don't get me wrong, there might be chemotherapy. But I'm telling you, God should be our first choice, not our last resort. If you're quicker to spread the gospel, or you're quicker to spread the gossip than the gospel, you need a New Year's resolution. Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Proverbs chapter number 6 says that he that soweth discord amongst the brethren, God hates that. James 4:11 says, speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And the Bible says in that very same book that we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And somebody might be saying, why is this going down? You better trust God, because God has got a reason for me doing all these things. If you rely more upon your own thinking than the word of God and the man of God, you need a New Year's resolution. Job 8:9 says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What's that saying, preacher? That's saying we should rely upon God and rely upon the man of God. Can I say this morning? A lot of folks say, well, he's just a preacher. Well, I'm not just a preacher. I should be the man of God in the position to relay the message that God sends from here. So many people look at the preacher and the pastor of a church in the local assembly, and I'm going to say this because God's telling me to, but then they'll go home and find whoever they want to on the internet, they'll find whoever they want to on the radio, and they'll find whoever they want to on TV. They'll listen to them, they'll crack open their Bible then, and then they'll come to church and shake their head at the man of God that God told them to go to church and listen to. And they're confused, and they get caught up in a ditch, and they don't know how to get out because the blind led the blind. Can I tell you this? If God sent you to Mount Zion Baptist Church and God sent me here, there's something here for us to have in life. I'm not tooting my own horn. You can ask some people in here. It's one of the most uncomfortable things for me to go through is to somebody say, Jason's doing a good job. I look at that like this. I'd rather you be better than me. I believe you're better than me. And all I am is supposed to be a humble servant to do what God says to do. Y'all hearing me? Lastly, if it's easier for you, or if it's getting easier for you, and you don't care too much about missing church, you need a New Year's resolution. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourself, of ourselves together. Not yourselves, but ourselves. I've misquoted that so many times. It's ourselves together. That means you're a part of me and I'm a part of you, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Matthew 18:20 says, for two or three are gathered in his name, there he shall be in the midst. And Romans 10, verse number 17 says, faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And where do you know for a fact you can hear the word of God? You should be able to hear it in the house of God. Amen. Everybody still with the preacher? All right, we're going to read the Bible. I had to do what God asked me to do. And now we're going to preach on Simeon. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. You can be seated. I normally pray, but I got to move on with what the Lord's having me move on with. Here in this scripture here, we read and find where Simeon, most of you know the story, Simeon is the one who's here and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon is somebody you won't find nothing else about him in scriptures. And can I actually say this? What more is there need to know about Simeon? I mean, the life that Simeon lived, you said, well, preacher, there's not much you can find about Simeon. Well, if you read these scriptures, you can find out a bunch about Simeon. And it says that first he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. By waiting for the consolation of Israel, he was waiting for the comfort. He was waiting for the alleviation of misery. He was waiting for the alleviation of distress of mind. He was waiting for the refreshment of mind or the spirit. A comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune. He was waiting for something. He's waiting for the consolation springing from circumstances that abates the evil. He was looking for support and strength in mind and in hope and in joy, courage in the light. That which comforts or refreshes the spirits and causes of comfort. He was looking for the relief of Israel. He was looking for the blessed hope that was promised before all those times that the prophets and the law and Moses and the psalmist have written about the hope and the one that should come. He was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Bible says he was hanging out in Jerusalem. And the things about Simeon's life was he was waiting for God to do it. He was waiting for God to appear. He was waiting for God to do that miracle in his life. If you'll have it, Simeon believed in that which he heard when he went to the house of God. Simeon believed in that which he heard the old timers say that of old, things that was supposed to come to pass. Some people come to church and they say, well, I've heard preachers preach that Jesus is coming back. But many of us will sit here and we act like the Lord is not coming back because there is no concern. But I remember some of them old timers telling me, saying, preacher, you better get your house in order because one day the Lord will come back and you won't have time to do it. I took them words near and dear to my heart. I went to the house of God and there was a reverence in my heart and in my mind because I felt the power of God. And I know there's people in here that feel the same way. But as God had laid them things out about a New Year's resolution, and that with Simeon, some folks may say, well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. And I'm not like them people in the Bible. Well, be of good cheer. You're in good company. Neither was Simeon. I don't hear of no great prophecies that he's done. I've never heard of no books that he has written. I've never heard of no people that he has baptized. But Brother James, the Bible says this. He was just. He was devout, and the Holy Ghost, he had a touch of the Holy Ghost on him. And when he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, can I say this? Can I say this this afternoon? If you want to be like Simeon, you need to be just in your life. Just means you need to be regular. That means you need to be steady. You need to be orderly, due and suitable, full, complete to the common standard, true, founded in truth and fact. In a Bible sense, you need to be righteous and religious, influenced and by the regard to the laws of God, or living exact comfortably to the divine will. You might say, preacher, I just don't have that within me. Can I say this? No, you do not. But if you've been saved, you've got one that lives in you, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this today, it's not your righteousness that God will see. It'll be the righteousness of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You might say, preacher, how can I be just? That means you be fair in your dealings. Be righteous in your dealings. Walk as Christ. Try to walk. And we're walking. And if you make a mistake, make it right with God and make it right with who you're wrong. I believe Simeon, if he ever done anybody wrong, Brother James Powell, I believe he went to him and said, please forgive me. Not because he wanted to make sure they liked him, but he said he wanted to keep in good fellowship and relationship, and that with God. Oh, can I say this today? Many times we think we're right because we do things in a certain way. But I'm telling you, if you're just in your dealings, the Bible says you can be close to the Lord. You can walk with God. And maybe you can be like Simeon and wait for the consolation of Israel. He was devout. He was going, well, hold on 1 second. I got to get to this because this dumbfounded me. I even highlighted it in blues. That way I could remember it. The Bible says, I get this. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse number 15. There is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But here it says in the Gospel of Luke that Simeon was a just man. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but it didn't say that he was holier than thou. It didn't say that he was perfect and not sinless. But Brother Scott Strunkett said he was just. That means he shook his hand. When he shook your hand, it meant something. That means when he gave you his word, it meant something. That meant when he said he would do something, this is my problem. When he said he'd be there, he'd be there. When he said he would remember, he remembered. You said, preacher, how come we can't do it? Because we got all that other stuff that I read in the first paper. Got it clouding up our mind and clouding up our vision and giving us hard of hearing to hear what the Lord says for us to do. But Simeon was just in his dealings. Simeon was a man that just who God just looked down upon and saw favor and gave him some favor because he was just in how he lived. I know in today's day, and people say, but preacher, it's hard to live just in an unjust world. It's hard to live right in a world that's so wrong. Can I tell you, friends, it was the same for them back then as it is for us today. I've heard some people say, preacher, do you think it's gotten worse? Oh, the Bible says the love of many have waxed cold. But back then, if you went back there in those days, I believe we can find some things about the people of the world that cause our stomach to turn. They would live in a certain manner, in a certain fashion that would cause us to gasp at our breath. The Bible says in Jeremiah, all the way back then, they couldn't even blush when they sinned. Hey, that sounds like today. People don't blush in the sins that they commit because their heart has been hardened, their conscience has been seared, and they're not just in their dealings and that in life. He said he was just. He said he was devout. Devout means yielding a solemn and reverential attention to God in religious exercises, particularly in prayer. Pious, devoted to religion and religious dealings. That means he was devout. That means he did everything, put it in the hands of God. He went to God with his problems. He went to God with his troubles. I've heard so many people, and I've been told by some of these old saints of God and these people that's gone on to be with the Lord, I've been told stories by people. And I got to, and I've heard people talk about some of these sainted sisters that's gone on to be with the Lord. I've heard one man talk about his grandmother. He said, preacher, that woman, he said, it didn't matter what happened. Before she did anything, she would go pray about it. He said, then she'd go pray about it. And then when that problem got a little rougher, we'd ask her what she was going to do. And she said, I'm just going to trust God, and God's going to have his way with it. Now, we'll all sit and come to the house of God, and we'll all agree with that and say amen. And we'll all say, yes, that's what we're supposed to do. But can I tell you, it's the hardest thing for me to do is to take every problem to God first and put it in his hands and just sit back and say, God's going to take care of everything that's going to go on. That's devout. That's trusting in him. But how many times have we go on Google and look up what's wrong with us? How many times we'll get on the internet and try to find out what's the best thing for us? How many times we think that a new car or a new home or a better job or more money is going to make everything better? Can I tell you what'll make everything better? Is if we get devout with God and devout with his word and let God bless in our lives. Simeon didn't have no, I mean, he didn't have a high IQ. It does not say that he was gifted in any sort and was any certain way, but it said he was just and he was devout. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar by no means, but I've read it enough to know this. If you're just and you're devout, you'll find the Holy Ghost on your life. Oh, can I say this in today's day and time? I've heard people say, well, you shouldn't say Holy Ghost in a Baptist church because it'll spook all the Baptist people. Can I tell you this? The Holy Ghost is not spooky to one denomination and welcomed by another. The Bible says, if you're without holy living, we shall not see God. And if we can't have a Holy Ghost in our life, don't expect God to do anything for us. He's saying that we need to be just and to be devout. It is a privilege to have the Holy Ghost upon you. Is a privilege. If we're just and devout, Jesus Christ our Lord, and just and devout, and the touch of the Holy Ghost was upon Simeon. He was just and devout in his life. I don't know how he lived as in the everyday things, but this is one thing I know for a fact, Christian Faulkner. I don't think that he was doing anything underhanded or sinning and sweeping it under the rug. Because if he was living a life that way, y'all hearing this preacher? Because if he was living that way and sweeping it under the rug, and a spinning, there's no way God would prosper his life. You said, preacher, how do you figure that? Because what's one of my favorite scriptures in Proverbs 28? It says that he that covereth up sin shall not prosper. Now, can I say, stop right there and say this? Everybody likes to describe their sin not as being bad as somebody else's sin. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I love them scratch-off tickets. Preacher, I love doing all those things. A little alcohol don't hurt nothing, preacher. At least I ain't no homosexual. Like, your life is so much better than the homosexual's life. And God just looks down upon you and says, man, I'm glad you're the way you are. No, the Bible says that the outside of the cup needs to be washed and cleansed. But before it can be washed and cleansed on the outside, it's got to get washed and cleansed on the inside. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. I'm telling you, for us to be just and devout in our dealings is not for us saying what's right and what's wrong in our own mind, but what thus saith the Lord, be just and devout with that, and don't cover up your sins. The Bible says, confess them and forsake them, and we'll have mercy. Amen. I'm telling you this today, that all of us need to make a New Year's resolution to be like Simeon. You said, preacher, that's some harsh preaching. They don't preach like that no more. Well, they ought to. That's what made this country great, was people willing to stand for the Bible truth. Now today, they want to attack the truth. They figure they can't throw away the Bible. They can't disprove the Bible. So they got to try to print other things and say they're like the Bible. There's nothing like the Word of God. Jesus Christ, he's been imitated. They try to imitate him, but they can't duplicate him. He's the one and true only Savior of all men. I've heard there's been other men that come through down time and said they was Jesus Christ, but they've never walked on water. They've never raised up the dead. They never opened up the blinded eyes. And most of all, they never died 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth and got up again on that glorious morning. Somebody say amen right there. There's nobody like our Jesus, and there's nothing like the Word of God. Simeon trusted in it. Simeon said, this is my life. There were some fellas down there around McQuaidie, Kentucky. We was going down there, or McQuarrie County, Kentucky. We was down there at a fish fry one time. And I can't remember the preacher's name. Brother Randy and Gage know this preacher's name. I can't remember his name. But we would talk, and we was talking about Bible all the time, all the time, all the time. We was down there. We had a sing down there at a fish fry, and then I seen him go to somebody else, and he would talk Bible and talk Bible and talk Bible. He'd go to somebody else, and he'd talk Bible and talk Bible and talk Bible. And I'd see other people get close to him, and he'd start to turn to him, and they would turn and walk away from him because they did not want to talk Bible. And somebody says, Jason, how come he's always talking about the Lord? How come is he always talking about the Bible? That's what I said, because that's his whole entire life, is the Lord and the Bible. And somebody says, well, preacher, I don't want to come across that way. Well, if you don't want to come across that way, you don't have to. But don't blame God when you don't have a touch of the Holy Ghost upon you, because you ain't just and you ain't devout in your life. Used to, people said, if there's only one thing I can trust in, I can trust in the Lord. Now people trust in all kinds of things, and they try to put God in on the list. Some folks say God's number one on the list, but you know who's number one on your list, because they're the first person you go to. Simeon trusted in God. Now he waited. He waited. He believed wholeheartedly, faith believing, that God was going to bring the consolation. And when he waited and he believed it was coming, when the consolation showed up, it was that baby, Jesus Christ. Now I've watched some of them babies. I've watched Delilah, and I've watched some of the other babies that's come to church. I've watched people, how they pick them up and pass them around. No love on them, talk weird to them. We all do that, don't we? Like if you talk some different weird, goofy way, the baby understands you. And you love on them, everything like that. But can you imagine Simeon? He reached down and grabbed the baby Jesus, and the Bible says took him up in his arms. Took him up in his arms. I believe, Brother James Powell, that the delight and the relief and the excitement in that man's life was overwhelming, because he got to reach down and pick up what he had waited so long for to see. To the point that he says, Lord, there ain't nothing left on earth worth living for. I've done seen the best that there is. You said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I'm telling you, when you truly get born again and you get saved, there's nothing else in life that can top that feeling. Can I say this? When I said I don't do too much stuff on the social media, much more, I did post some things about our anniversary, mine and Tammy's anniversary. Two most important things happened to me, and they happened up in Kettering, and they happened at Kettering Church of God. I got married to the best woman there is. Now, your woman may be good, she may be the best for you, but she's not better than mine. But the best woman that God had for my life, He blessed me and gave me that precious gift of having Tammy to be my wife. And the second most important thing that happened to me, or should I say, the most important thing that happened to me in that same place is I got saved and got born again. The relief that came to my life, the consolation that hit my heart. I waited on God to help me in my burden and help me in the conviction. And Brother Scott Strunk, when God showed up, I took Him up in my arms, placed Him in my heart, and the relief and the sweet peace and release. There's nothing else better in life. To be saved and born again, there's nothing that compares of that born-again life. I've often heard people try to say, well, what's it like to be saved? And I say, it's a life-changing experience. And how I know it's been a life-changing experience, Michaela, is because He's been changing me ever since. Oh, preacher, I don't need to change. Yes, you do. Because the Bible says it's been predestined that we should be in the image of His dear Son. If you don't understand what that means, I ain't got time to explain it to you. Hold me up after church and I'll tell you what that means. But we're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. Simeon waited for the consolation. Simeon said, I want to see the best thing that God has to offer. I want to see not only for myself, but he wanted it for his people. He wanted it for Israel. You said, preacher, what do you mean he wanted it for Israel? He was an Israelite. And he hung out in Jerusalem waiting for it. For so long a time that Jerusalem and the Jews were mistreated and they were mocked and they were under the Roman rule and all those things. And somebody might say, well, preacher, it's because of their own fault. Hey, there's a lot of things we do. It's because of our own fault. But aren't you glad that God doesn't hold it against you and still gives you relief? And this is what he was doing. He was waiting for the consolation not only for himself, but for his people, and even for his enemies. A Gentile was an enemy unto the Jews. We was called dogs to them. But he says the consolation and the salvation, the Lord's salvation, and a light unto the Gentiles, and that hope unto Israel. So many times people say, well, preacher, I hear you, but that's good. But some of you need to do more in here. You need to get it. You have to get it. And I told the Lord this because when the Lord had been waking me up at about 5:30, 6 o'clock on the days that I'm off, and I'm like, I'm not happy about that. I like sleeping in. But God's waking me up real early with a cup of coffee and having me sit and study. And then this is what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, normally this is a message. It goes out to the backbone of the church. It goes to them who are steadfast and true. He said, Jason, but some of them people that come on Sunday morning need to hear that stern, stiff, and backbone type message for them to see and realize there's a lot more in life than what the world has to offer. God has preached nothing but salvation message that I can remember in almost 3 years now on a Sunday morning. But this year God changed it all up and says, we need to get us a New Year's resolution. Need to be resilient, need to be resolute, just, and devout. Amen. And that unto our Savior. Can I share this with you? In 2 Kings chapter number 9, verses 9 through 10, this is Elisha. He's asking Elijah for a double portion. I wonder how many people here would be willing to ask God for a double portion. I wonder how many people say, Lord, give me double of your power. Double. I want double what Jason Faulkner's got. I want double of what James Powell Jr.'s got. I want double of what King James. I want double of Becky Burton. I want double what they got. Has anybody ever, I ain't got a show of hands, has anybody ever asked that before? I asked the Lord one time, and I'll admit it, I was sitting there and I was listening to Sterling Boland preach, Brother James Powell. And when I found out he was dying, I said, Lord, if I could do, if I could just do like Sterling Boland did. I did, I asked that. And I did not know it was going to wear out cars and shoes and everything. I said, Lord, give me a double portion. Give me a double portion. I said, God did. Now, when it comes to a double portion, there's two things that has to happen for you to get a double portion. One, you got to be there to get it. And two, be willing to do double the work that that portion brings. And this is what he said in 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse 10. Elijah says to Elisha, and it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Elisha had to be with Elijah for him to get it. And I ain't saying this to be mean, but if you're yoked up with people of who's worldly, if you're yoked up with people who do not have the same mindset of the Lord, and some people say, preacher, that's judging. Well, you go take it up with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18. He said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He says, unless you're here and see it go away, you can't get that double portion. I wonder how many people are sitting there saying, you know what, 2015 preacher, God's blessed, but I want to see God bless even more in 2016. God, I didn't do, I think there's some more things I'd like to do. God, I want to be resolute. I want you to do more through me next year than you did this past year. Well, Elisha wanted that, and Elijah said, well, you got to be here to get it. Some folks say, well, that's just not right. Yes, it is right, because it's God's word. So many people says, well, preacher, I like coming to church. I just don't like all the rules that come with it. Well, here's the best way I can put it. If you've got all that love in your heart, there's no need for no other rule. I had no problem. Get this. I didn't put out the Bible challenge. Somebody else did. And it did not bother me that I got challenged to read my Bible in a year. Oh, Lord God, have mercy on me, because you all's going to badmouth me when you leave. And it ain't me, it's God. I had no problem with the Bible challenge. But some of you's got a big problem with it, because you won't step up to the challenge. And can I say this? It shouldn't be a challenge. It should be a desire. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 2015's about up. 2016's coming. Wouldn't you like to be a better Christian in 2016 than you was in 15? Wouldn't you like to be a better Christian, a better man, a better woman, better son, better daughter, better boy, better girl, better preacher, better Sunday school teacher? Wouldn't you like to be better than you was this year? If you're satisfied with what you got, then maybe this message is not for you. But I believe there's some folks here that like to do more and like to be better. Lastly, in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 11, there was a man there by the name of Obed-Edom. They was carrying the Ark of God. David was. And they decided to carry it by a new cart being pulled by an oxen, wasn't it? David, and he got his buddies together and thought of a new way to carry the Ark of God. There's only one problem. God had already given the way that Ark was supposed to be carried. So many of us sometimes think, well, I'm going to do it this way. It's 2015, it's new and it's modern. But God's already given us the way and how we're supposed to live. It's already outlined in His Bible. And David said, you know what? I'll get this new cart. I'll get this oxen. We'll pull it. We'll walk along beside it. We'll sing, we'll dance, we'll play music, put some rhythm in it, and everything's going to be fine. The only problem was is that the ox stumbled as it was pulling the ark, and when it stumbled, the ark began to tip, and then Uzzah touched the ark, and God killed Uzzah. And somebody says, well, why would God do something like that? Because God done said it in His word how that ark was supposed to be carried, and only the Levites, and only a certain group of the Levites was allowed to touch the ark. And so many people nowadays then say, well, I just don't believe it that way. When you come across to Uzzah and they die without God because people want to do it in a new way or a way it seems better, you can't blame God. So what did they do, preacher? They put the ark down. They found Obed-Edom, and they said, Obed, can we take it to your house and leave it with you till we figure out what in the world's going wrong? And it doesn't say how Obed replied, but knowing what happened in Obed-Edom's house, Brother James, I believe he was probably scared plumb to death. But I also believe this, Brother James. He also said, I would welcome it in my house. And they placed the Ark of God. In the Old Testament, the Ark of God is the promise. It's the testimony. It's the provision. And it's the power of God. It's having God in your presence. That's what that ark represented. And the Bible didn't say what all went on, but for 3 months, God blessed Obed-Edom's house. That word got out to David. They said, hey, David, Obed-Edom and his family's getting blessed something fierce down there at the house because the ark's with him. And you might say, preacher, what do you think was going on? I believe the whole family was just. I believe the whole family was devout. I believe the whole family took up that promise of God in their heart. I believe they wanted to live a certain way and be a certain way. Were they perfect? Probably not. But they asked God for forgiveness. Said, God, help me in my weakness. Help me in my sin to get out of it, God. And let me be a light and a help to somebody else. And God blessed the house. Then David went back to the scriptures and found it in the scriptures and says, well, here's where it says how I'm supposed to do it. And he called the Levites together and they pick up the ark at Obed-Edom's house and take it back to Israel. I really don't know how God's going to do this, but I'm giving you what God's given me. If Joanne, if you can just come to the piano, and let's just get us a song, Joanne, Eddie, if you got a song, or no matter, just get us a song. But I want to ask this right now this morning, or this afternoon. I want to ask this. How many here want to be closer to God than you are right now? I want to know how many here would like to be closer to God.